I was reading a story that is told of a middle-aged man on a Caribbean cruise. And on the first day on the cruise, he noticed a very pretty lady, an attractive woman about his age, who smiled at him in a friendly way as they passed on the deck. And this pleased him. That night he managed to get seated at the same table with her at dinner. As the conversation developed, he commented that he had seen her earlier on the deck and he appreciated her friendly smile. And when she heard this, she smiled and commented, "Well, the reason I smiled was that when I saw you, I was immediately struck by your strong resemblance to my second husband." At this, he perked up his ears and said, "Oh, how many times have you been married?" She looked down at her plate, smiled shyly, and answered, "Once." Friends, on Wednesday was Valentine's Day. And people all around the world thought about love for their spouses and their families and friends in a loving way. I thought that this is then a good time to talk about the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus spoke about it. In fact, Jesus came to this earth and was a living demonstration of divine love. Everyone loves love. Isn't that true? We want to be loved and we want to love. The problem is our love is lacking, just like we are. And it's often conditional upon our mood or our loved one's actions or behavior or appearance or attitude. And when it comes to love, we fall short of love at times. But friends, God's love is unconditional. And he wants us to love him back and to love others. It was Philip Yancey who once wrote, "There is nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less." God's love is deep. And God's love has nothing to do with you. Others may like you and love you because you're cute and you're adorable. Or you're rich, or you're fun to be around, or you family, and we have to love you. But not God. God loves you simply because he wants to love you. He chose to love you. He decided to love you. God loves you because 1 John 4 verse 16 says, God is love. We are his treasured possessions. We are the apple of his eye. We are precious and honored in his sight. There's a scripture that says he even sings songs for you. Friends, you have never lived a day or a minute or a second when God didn't love you. You may have hidden in shame from God for something wrong you did, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but God still loves you. You may have deserted him like the disciples when they came to arrest Jesus and they fled, but God still loves you. You may have denied him like Peter when they asked him about his relationship with Jesus Christ, but God still loves you. You may have doubted him like Thomas, But God still loves you. You may sit by the bedside of a loved one who is sick and in pain, and you're angry with God, but God still loves you. You may sit at the graveside of after losing a loved one, one who you love dearly, who touched your heart and life, and you're upset because God didn't heal your loved one or keep your loved one from dying, and you're upset and this, that, and the other, but God still loves you. When you weep because of your financial burdens seem too heavy to bear, God still loves you. It's amazing how we can just think that we are in we're no good. We're too bad, or we've done something too wrong. I am saying this morning not to condone what you're doing and how you're feeling, but I'm here to tell you, friends, the best news you can ever hear, that God loves you. Amen. You're going to leave here today and somebody's going to ask you, what did Keith preach about? God loves me. That's what he told me. And that's the best news you've heard this week, I guarantee you. Amen, friends. When your family is torn apart and your marriage is heading for a disaster, God still loves you. When your heart aches because of the great sin you have committed and you feel that God could never forgive you, be that as it may, God still loves you. Yes. We can say, let's go home now, Keith. That's it, man. That's awesome. Yeah. And in it all, friends, through thick and thin, in good times and bad times, God loves you. You never leave his mind, his thoughts, or his sight. He sees the worst in you, and he says, man, there you are, you mine, I love you. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because Romans 8, 39, this is just a summary of it. It says, nothing man shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love isn't based on you, it's based on Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will always love you as much as he loves his son Jesus. Why? Because the scripture says, you are in Christ. Immediately after talking in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8, about him being the vine, we are the branches, and God is the vine dresser or the gardener, and the importance of abiding in him and bearing fruit, friends, Jesus continues in our text this morning for John 15, verse 9 to 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus had a lot to say about love. And his final night with his followers was no exception. During the course of the evening, if you read, it started in John chapter 13 and it went through to John chapter 17, where Jesus, talking to his disciples, uses the L word, love, over 30 times in 18 different verses. It doesn't take a theologian or a Bible scholar to see that love meant a lot to Jesus. That this was the central message to his disciples. Focusing then on this brief excerpt from that evening, I believe Jesus reveals for us how to obtain love, a love worth giving. And it all begins when we receive his love for us. And that's my first point, friends. Receiving his love. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord said, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you. The scriptures are clear, friends, that God is a God of love, that he loves you and me with a love that never quits. Pastor and author A.W. Tozer said it best. He said, the love of God is one of the great realities of the universe, a pillar upon which the hope of the world rests. But it is a personal, intimate thing too. God does not love populations, he loves people. He loves not masses, he loves individuals. Jesus knew that the time for him to leave the world had come. He knew that the time he had left with his disciples was very short. And he wanted to spend the time showing them the full extent of his love. And our text said in John 15 verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Another version says, live within my love. He said to them, I love them. I love you. And I want to say this today. He's saying to you and I this morning, I love you too. I read this the other day. A preacher said, everything I ever needed to know about theology, I learned from just one song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Did you know the origin of that song? It first appeared in the form of a poem in a children's novel written by Anna Warner in 1859. One of the characters in the story comforts a dying child with these words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, a couple of years later, William Bradbury stumbled across this poem, wrote his own tune and added a chorus. Within months, the melody spread across North America like wildfire. A simple poem from an obscure novel became the most well-known hymn in the world. It's been translated into many languages than any other song, more languages than any other song, and it's often used by missionaries as a teaching aid. Now, why has this simple song become so universally known and loved? Because it expresses a single, most significant and profound truth, friends, known to humanity in three simple words, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. No school or seminary or university can teach you anything more significant than this song sung by Sunday school classrooms across the world. Receiving the love of Jesus and living a life in his love every day is the first and most essential step in having a love worth giving. Jesus explains it this way. In John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. In other words, friends, as we draw closer to Christ and stay connected to him, he funnels his love into our hearts. His love is characterized by sacrifice. In verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's just what he did, friends. I want to encourage us this morning to receive his love, to accept this wonderful, undeniable truth that Jesus loves you. And draw close to him, allowing him to pour his love into your heart. Friends, that's the first step to receive his love. The first step is to receive his love. The second step is to return his love. One day a teacher of the law walks up to Jesus and says, Lord, which is the first commandment of all? In other words, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said, Mark 12, verse 30, it's recorded, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus was saying, friends, that nothing matters more than this. This is the number one thing in life. He's saying, I want you to love me passionately. God is saying, I want you to put some effort into it. Put some muscle into it. I want you to put some energy, put some emotion into your relationship with me. Don't be casual, half-hearted about your relationship with me. Give it all you got. Give it some spark. Give it some enthusiasm. Give it some zeal. Give it some zest. We are to love God passionately. We can't give you an occasional nod. Just imagine your loved one gives you a okay then. Okay, I love you then already. No. We got to be excited about loving God, friends. Amen? Amen. There's nothing more pathetic than a Christian who's dragging their feet. Who's so casual, so indifferent, that nobody can tell you are a Christian. Dr. Kenneth West, a noted Christian New Testament Greek scholar, says, to love God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength means to make loving God a passionate pursuit. To love God with our souls involved, making the love of God and doing of his will and obeying of his word and seeking of his glory and the worship of his name, making it a consuming passion in our lives. Yes. Friends, he loves you that way. He never stops thinking about you. And he wants you to love him back. In Jesus' day, rabbis or teachers, they had people following them. And the rabbi's disciples, who was following them all over when they were teaching the people, were generally known, the disciples of the rabbis were known as servants. But Jesus changes that, and he says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things I heard from my Father I have made known to you." Friends, in your relationship with God, Jesus promotes you from servant to friend. Amen? And now the question is, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? It's one thing to say, Jesus loves me. It's a different thing to say, I love Jesus. Can you say that? Do you love him? Are you passionate about him, friends? Do you think about him all the time? Do you see him in the smiles of children? Are you passionate about your love for the Lord? Jesus said, "Well, the first and greatest command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." Our love for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit must be the driving force of our lives. If everything we do isn't spurred by our deep love for God, then nothing we do really matters. So how does returning God's love manifest in practical ways? I would say it isn't too different from any other love relationship. You know, in a love relationships are built on trust, on communication and adoration and so on. And the same. Our love relationship with God is built on faith, trust, prayer, communication, and worship, adoration. In other words, we have to love Jesus so much so that our love for him needs to be all-consuming. Right along with that, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, loving Jesus, and this is just from the paraphrase, the message. I can quote the King James for you. It says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him." We learned it the old way. I can see some people are saying, "Nah, that way I don't know." But we know, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Yes. Now, as we continue to receive God's love, and as we continue to receive and return God, love back to God, there is the third ingredient that completes the recipe. And that is, let's recycle his love. Let's recycle his love. In other words, let's love other people. Amen. 1 John 4 verse 21 says, "And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." repeatedly throughout this passage and the rest of the chapter, Jesus says in John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment." This isn't a suggestion or see how you feel in the morning and decide. No, no. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15, verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Isn't that wonderful? And this is the hard part. Once we receive the love of Jesus, friends, into our lives, and we love him back, we return his love, then we are ready to recycle that love, to share that love with the rest of the world. Jesus was very specific, though, how we should love people. You know how we should love people? He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." You don't have to wonder anymore. You know how Jesus loves you? So now you love other people that same way. This commandment changes any definition that will limit the scope and intensity of love. We are to love as he loved. Just hours before saying this or issuing this comprehensive command, Jesus demonstrated it. You see, the spring showers must have most likely turned the Palestinian roads and streets into thick mud, which would have oozed into the open-toed sandals of the disciples. They're walking around in all this mud already. And so it was customary for a servant to use a basin of water and a clean towel to wash the dirty feet before sitting down to dinner. So you go to dinner, as you come in, your feet are washed. As the disciples reached the upper room, they probably spotted the bowl of water and the towel. It's there. But there were apparently no one to wash their feet. There was no servant around. So while the rest of them gathered in around the table, tracking mud through their house, can you imagine, you ladies, what they would have grabbed these disciples and go out with the mud? As they're getting ready, they sit, they're tracking in the mud, Jesus prepared something wonderful. In John 13, verse 4 and 5. "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Did you see that, friends? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Alpha, the Omega, got on his knees and washed filthy, muddy feet. It's almost too much to believe. But it's even more amazing when we realize that this was a demonstration not only of humility and service, but unrelenting love. That's how we love. That's how Jesus loved. Looking back on that night, Anne Graham Lotz writes, "Looking back on that night, John must have recalled the tender tone of his voice, the loving look on his face, the gentle grace of his gestures, the piercing passion in his eyes, the princely posture of his person. John must have been awestruck that Jesus had expressed his love to his disciples in the utmost degree of which he was capable through serving them." as we seek, friends, to grow in our capacity to love others, let us continue to look to the heart of Jesus and learn to love like him. In the world today, the attitude is, what can you do for me? We can be friends, we can, you know, be acquainted. What's in it for me? What are you going to do? And here is Jesus. Not the next chapter, we see him getting arrested and going to the cross. But yeah, he's washing feet. We had this in South Africa one evening at a prayer meeting. And the pastor, he washed all our feet. You know how humbling that is, friends. That someone will do that for you. And this is love. So we receive God's love. We love him back. And then we recycle his love to others. And we say, how? How must we do it, Lord? Like I did it for you. Like I love you, you love them. I want to conclude, friends. I want our church, more than anything else, to be a community of love. I want us all to feel totally and completely loved. Nothing, according to Jesus, is more important than being loved by God, loving him back, and loving people. This is very important. So let's keep that in our hearts every moment of every day. Amen. I want you to close your eyes right now. The Lord has just laid on my heart. You thought you will come to church today, and that nobody will know. But there could never be a better message for you this morning. That in spite of, the Lord reminded you of his love for you. And you know what? When you know you are loved, that changes everything, friends. Because sometimes in our lives, we don't feel so loved. Everybody's trying to make it. And sometimes we use each other as stepping stones. We say mean things. Our attitude's not good. And so it's easy to feel like you've been taken for granted. It's easy to feel that nobody loves you. But instead of saying, you know, the guy down the road or your neighbor, they love you and your cousin loves you. No, no. Today God brought you here to remember that in spite of, he loves you. And I know right now, as you heard that, you're saying, Lord, thank you. I love you too. And he says, that's awesome. Father, thank you for every head and heart that's bowed here. From these lovely little children to the seniors, Lord. Everybody is so excited to be in your presence. We thank you this morning that you received praise and worship from us, Lord. And that was so lovely that you, God Almighty, will receive the praise and worship from us ordinary people. But Lord, this morning, you reminded us that you love us, Lord. Your word said that we all remember this from when we were little, that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For you sent your Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through through him might be saved. Your word says you demonstrated your own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You, Lord Father, you made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God through him. And this morning you reminded us that, Lord, his point of departure was nothing but pure love for each one of us. And we feel encouraged, Lord. We feel uplifted, Lord. We feel blessed, Lord God. And so, Lord, we love you back, Lord God. We love you with all our hearts, Lord God. And help us as we go out there to love everybody just as you loved us, Lord, that they too will come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worship. loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Us today. God richly bless you. Have a lovely week. God loves you. He loves you dearly. I love you too, friends. Let's continue to love each other, one another. Love other people. The Bible says, by this, shall all men know that
you are
my disciples. If you have love, what for the other? Praise God. Thank you. Do stay for some coffee. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen.